Welcome to The Attitude, a brand new mini-series with me, Kate Thornton, brought to you by Harpen, the new clothing line that offers style with attitude. Join me as I talk to four incredible women about the attitudes they've adopted to shape their lives, careers, and romances. You'll find inspiration and a new look to match at harpen.com. That's H-A-R-P-E-N-N-E.com, where you'll also get 10% off your first order and free delivery when you spend £50 or more. Find your attitude at Harpen.
Hey, say hello to Hey You, home to the most binge-worthy reality TV shows.
It's reality 100%.
Including Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Real Housewives of New Jersey, Snatched, and over 250 more. Ready to stream or download in the palm of your hand.
It just makes everything better.
See it here first with loads of new episodes same day as the US.
I love that.
Hey You, reality on demand. Download the app to get your 1 month free.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Jamie, she has no last namey. Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Nobody socks it to us like Amy Tsakarellis.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
Higher than high-res, it's Lauren Perez.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Wallant. The Bay Area betches.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Always ready for Nicole Passeretti.
One day your Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Nancy, Cease, and Desisto.
Joey Grant, the Grandmaster. Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews sisters. And
Mina, Coochie, Coochie, Coochie.
Watch What Crappens. Watch What Crappens. Is what happens when there's so much that crappens.
Crappens. Crappens.
Crappens. Watch What Crappens. Watch What Crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens. Watch What Crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. Check it out on YouTube. And joining me is the hilarious and wonderful Ronnie Karam of the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast podcast. What's going on, Ronnie?
Well, hi, Ben.
Hi. You're still in New York, aren't you? I'm back in L.A.
I sure am. I'm laying on a bed in a hotel room in New York City.
Wow. We are coming off a pretty epic New York weekend. It was to everyone who came out to our two shows on Saturday night. Thank you. Those were probably two of the very best we've ever done. It was so fun. Crappensgiving. We have to give a big thank you to Hannah Berner and Kate Chastain for joining us on stage. And Lori Cooper Realty, Dorinda's realtor, was at our early show, which was so fun. But thank you guys so much for coming. I was like literally on a high. I did not go to sleep until 4:30 that night just because I was like buzzing so much in my hotel room. So,
oh my God, that was such a fun weekend.
It was fun. New York always treats us right. And we are going to be going next to St. Louis next week. We're going to St. Louis. Is it next week? I think it is next week, December 6th. And then the very next night, we have two shows in Philadelphia. The first one sold out, but the second one, there are tickets. The St. Louis show, by the way, does not have a lot of tickets left, so get those. And then, yes, definitely come to our late show. As you may have noticed, our late shows are the crazy shows in a really fun way. So come see us in Philadelphia. And then after that, you know, the tour bus keeps on rolling. We go to Denver, Seattle. We have our big show in Los Angeles, the 2020 Golden Crappies in January. That'll be amazing. But then we go to Detroit. We go to Columbus. Two shows in Austin, one of them sold out. Houston, Birmingham area, NOLA, Kansas City area. It's going to be Lawrence, Kansas. Omaha, Nebraska, Salt Lake City, home of the new Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, okay? Vancouver, Orlando, Charleston, and Oklahoma City. More cities to come. Keep an ear out for them. But go to watchwhatcrapins.com to get tickets, so that way you don't miss out on epic experiences like everyone in New York just had, and then everyone in Chicago had the weekend before that, and everyone in Indianapolis had before that, and so on, and so on, and so forth.
And so on, and so forth.
And you know what, Ronnie? My Shannon Baldur shirt arrived today. Like, I literally just opened it up. It looks so good. I got mine with a nice navy background, and I'm going to wear it when we do Crappins on Demand this week.
Oh, nice. Yeah, Crappins on Demand. We did not do one last week, so we'll be doing one this week. You'll find that at our Patreon, along with our bonus episodes. This week is a Vanderpump Rules trailer breakdown coming midweek. And, yeah, go get your merch and stuff. Shannon Baldur, Twerp, Dork, When Life Gives You Tacos, Make Taco Salad, Ramona Christmas stuff, Ramona Christmas leggings, Hanukkah stuff. Well, it's just jam-packed, okay? Yeah. Crappins merch. Or just go to watchwhatcrappins.com.
My voice got verklempt. I was like, remember the Ramona t-shirt from the holidays last year? I got verklempt. So today we are going to talk Real Housewives of Atlanta, which is chugging along. I'm a little concerned about it so far, Ronnie. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little concerned. I'm hoping it's just like early season, like, weirdness. Because I have to say, I'm not really feeling like the show is coming alive in the ways that I want it to. I'm going to chalk it up to the fact that the cast has sort of been like not really filming together yet. And they've got this, some of them are up in Pride and some are down here. There's babies everywhere. It's like not quite firing on the cylinders that I want it to be.
I think it's pretty funny. I mean, to talk about it is harder, I guess, than to watch it. Because to watch it, I crack up still at every scene. Well, I mean, the scenes with Kenya crying especially. Just kidding.
Yeah.
But I still crack up through the show. But yeah, it's a lot of... I would chalk it up to just major depression. I mean, there's like some major depression going on in this cast.
Yeah.
No one seems very happy. Cheer up, ladies. You've all just dropped a litter and, you know, like, I don't know, you're rich. Be happier.
I guess we should also give a congratulations to Candy Burris, who finally her new baby was born over the weekend. Blaze Burris. So,
that must have hurt.
Because it came out like a blaze.
Get it.
Took me a moment, and then I realized the wordplay you were doing with Blaze. No relation
it
to Richard Blaze.
A blaze of glory.
Yes. So congratulations, Candy. And the fam, etc. You know, fun stuff. Babies.
Yeah.
So many babies on the show. So many babies. It's actually out of control. It really is.
Yeah. I want to have a baby. It kind of just makes me want to give birth. Okay. So you know what I want to do more? I want to ignore Kenya. Like Mark. I'm really enjoying the Mark is ignoring Kenya storyline. The previously is who comes first, Kenya or the baby? Yeah. And Mark refuses to look at her.
Yeah. Speaking of cold shoulders, we actually pick up with will Nene say hello to Cynthia Bailey on the Bravo Pride float? What will happen? And so we see Nene walk up those stairs and she sees Cynthia and goes, "Hi, Miss Bailey." And then Cynthia goes, "Hi, Miss Leaks." And then, as predicted, Nene blows by her to give Kelly Dodd a huge hug, which honestly most people would want to do anyway.
Yeah, but she did say hi to her, so darn, we were wrong. We lost our office bet.
Yeah, like, well, that's a little bit of a draw, because she said hi, but it was also, like, a very much a cold shoulder.
It was a high cold shoulder.
It was a high cold shoulder that was, like, not very interesting to watch. And basically, Nene is, like, hugging Kelly Dodd, and she makes some... like, very rudimentary small talk with Noelle. She's like, "You home for the summer?" And Noelle's like, "Yeah." She's like, "Okay, bye."
Yeah, and Noelle's like, "Is it okay that we talked?" And Cynthia's like, "Yes, of course. It's up to her. It's up to you. You know, I'm glad she talked to you." And so Cynthia's a little confused. I think Cynthia was ready for a fight. But then Nene starts her victim thing again with us. She's like, "No matter what has gone on with Cynthia, we had been sisters. I can't believe she would hurt me this way." Okay.
Cynthia also does like a classic Ben Mandelker move, which is like, "Oh, we're in a fight? Well, When I see that person, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give them a cold shoulder. And then if they say something to me, I'm going to have these very choice words for them. And then instead, Cynthia says, "You look good, Miss Leeks," which is what I would do. Say something like really friendly and positive instead.
You look great.
Because I don't like confrontation. Yeah.
So Marlo was not invited on this float. So instead, she's just following it along in the streets going, "Hey,
yeah,
hey, it's me, Marlo." And finally, they get sick of her, you know, just following along. So Nini lets her up on the float.
I know. That was a really kind. That was probably the nicest thing that Nini ever did, was allow Marlo to, like, rise from the asphalt and like, come up to the Bravo float. At least for a little bit until Andy noticed her, probably.
Yeah,
which of course he probably never
right
did. He probably never did because he was like at the top of that thing, like, "Hey, oh, Andy Cohen," like, you know, big Andy Cohen moment.
Yeah, he just kept poking his head over, like,
I'm surprised all the fans that they were using to cool themselves down, because all the fans had faces on them, I'm surprised they just weren't all Andy Cohen.
Andy Cohen fanning you. It's like a wonky fan that doesn't quite work right. It like makes it halfway through a whole swipe and then
yes,
stops.
Yes, then it stops. or just like swings back and forth in a chair. Like the fans, when you put the fan down, it just sways back and forth.
You're like, "Wait a minute, this fan isn't fanning me. It's only swiveling. This is so weird."
This fan just asked me about how big my dick is. How strange.
Uh-oh, there's an emergency. Watch out, New York. There's sirens outside. It's crazy.
Oh, I
never
hear
happens
them.
Here.
I can't hear them.
My God, there's an emergency every 2 seconds. No one even pays attention. It's like, vroom, vroom, vroom. It's like, whatever, die on your own, son. I got a street to cross here, Kappa.
Can I tell you something? I think like last week or so on the bonus episode, or maybe 2 weeks ago, I was talking about Thailand, because as promised, before I left Thailand, I said I'm going to come back and talk about Thailand nonstop. But one thing I talked about with Thailand, I talked about going to Bangkok, and I said, you know, it was like a really exhilarating city and sensory overload, but it's just a lot, and it's like very stressful, and you know, there's just like so much stuff happening all over the place. And then I was walking around New York City. I was in Times Square on Friday night, and I was like, why am I making these observations about Bangkok as if this is like any different from New York City? It is. New York City is like pure madness at times. Like, I was walking around, I was like, this is crazy. This is way, way more stressful and uncomfortable and anxiety creating than anything I experienced in Bangkok.
But here we have musicals.
That's true. That's true. I was able to have all this craziness, like, at least in the same space that Patti LuPone exists in, which makes it easier.
I know. No matter what happens in New York, you know that somewhere Bernadette Peters is watching TV and eating some 100-calorie popcorn.
It's a nice feeling to know.
Isn't it?
Yeah, makes me feel good. So, yeah, so Pride Parade.
Yeah, so Pride Parade. It's basically a bunch of Bravo bitches on the Pride Parade. And then Cynthia's kind of wonk-wonked with her big fight. Mm-hmm. And Cynthia and Eva are basically just sniping from the side. Because Eva sees Marlo and she's like, whatever, the lapdog's here. And they're just snipe, snipe, snipe. But there's no real fight here, you know,
yeah.
And it's boring. So then Eva's like, it's all love until Pride is over.
Right.
And basically promising a big fight, but then she's not going to give a big fight because she's just going to eat her food at a sidebar instead of the regular bar. Which, Eva, listen, you're being paid for this.
Yeah,
okay?
That's not your job.
You don't get to go eat at the sidebar.
You don't get to do that. Right. I mean, it was sort of like a funny moment, but ultimately, you should sit and fight. Sit and fight.
So then Trixie Monocle of Atlanta comes back with one of my favorite moments of Trixie. I love when she sings about royalty.
Like a class. You know? This was so classic. This was really like, this is why people tune in to Trixie. Like, this is why she got her career in the first place. And she like went back to basics. She stopped with all her experimental shit. She's like, I'm going to give them what they want.
We're the queens of the castle. Bow! We're the queens of the castle.
Bow!
We're the queens of the castle.
Bow!
And that's what I like about a Trixie Monocle song. I like royalty. I like girl power. I like a command, and then
yes.
That's it. And then just repeat it 20 times.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And this also dovetails so well with, of course, her most famous song, which is God save the queen. God save the queen. And guess what? The queen is
me.
The queen is me. I love that. Because that song actually had a twist in it. This one just says, we're the queens of this castle, bow. What would have made this a real banger is if she said, we're the queens of this castle, bow. And guess what? I built this castle too. And then you're like, uh-huh, it has the twists. Full Trixie Monocle.
So we're the queen of this castle is Portia going to her psychiatrist. It's like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Queen.
Who's the queen of this castle? Who's the queen of this castle? Portia or the shrink?
Yeah. It's like, we must bow down to having a 10:30 a.m. appointment in a suburban therapy office.
Yeah. This strip mall is my castle. This bow. Strip mall is my psychiatrist. Bow. Bow. This strip mall is my psychiatrist. Bow.
So what I thought was very fascinating right off the bat was Portia is wearing a t-shirt that has, like, it's a heart, and the heart has two little eyes in it. So it's like, it's like Portia's not just staring at you, but her, like, little heart is staring at you too. But the therapist was wearing a necklace, and, like, the pendant was an eye also. So I liked how their clothing was having, like, a staring contest.
Yeah, they were having a stare off.
Yeah.
Portia's sad heart versus the one-eyed therapist shirt.
Yeah, all we needed was Tamara Barney's evil eye hat to really just blow it wide
open.
Love that
hat.
Yeah.
So the doctor's like, well, I hope you feel as good as you look, little sad heart. She's like, that's my shirt. She's like, sorry. Okay, well, your face looks okay too. And Portia's like, well, today it finally settled in that this is my situation. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ. Talk about something else. I'm bored. This is only episode 4.
I know. And the thing is this, is that she posted another photo with Dennis and the baby yesterday. So, I mean, it's also kind of annoying to sit through this, to knowing that she's going to get back together with him ultimately in real life.
Yeah. But I do like how Portia phrases things. She's like, because the doctor says, well, do you think maybe you just trusted him too quickly and he didn't have to earn your trust? And she goes,
well, knowing his dating history, I should have considered it more. But hell, when I was pregnant, I was sitting on the couch and trying to grow our daughter.
I just thought that was the funniest way to put it.
That is funny. It's like she's like watering herself.
Yeah. You know. She's like a farm-to-table restaurant mad that someone's late for the reservation. Like, I grew this!
She probably also was trying to grow a plant at the same time.
Yeah, she was trying to keep a succulent alive.
She probably thought the entire time she had a succulent inside her. And then she's like, oh my God, it's a baby.
So Portia's like,
when he made these decisions, he threw us aside.
Yeah. Bloody blah.
And the therapist is basically like, well, just, you know, just one thing to consider is that, like, you're, like, really upset right now. And do you want to make a life-changing decision when you're upset? I'm like, isn't that how she makes all her decisions?
That's how she got married in the first place. Why not get divorced that way?
Yeah, exactly. So
if you're Portia and you can't make a life-altering decision when you're upset, you're never going to make a decision. I mean, you're right. It's Portia.
Yeah.
So the doctor's like, well, I'm not saying get back with him, but for the sake of the baby, can you forgive him? I'm like, right. Yeah. Basically what she's saying is, do you want your baby to have hot dog money for college or not?
Yeah. Listen, don't you want your baby to go to hot dog university? Okay, well, it's gonna need a strong letter of recommendation from the hot dog king himself. So think about that. Yeah. Think about that before you close the door on Dennis. She's like, the door is bolted. No, I'm not talking about a literal door, because you know that Portia was like literally locking a door in her house, be like, there, I fixed it.
I know, but she's the kind of person that wonders why she's always being robbed, because she's like, the door is bolted, and she's like, but could you forgive him? She's like, maybe. I'm like, well, that's not a bolted door.
That's not a bolted door. No. Yeah. That is a door that is actually just like closed and locked, maybe to the generally, but also like easily picked.
Yeah, it's just like a screen door.
It is a screen door. It's a screen door that actually has a hole in it.
It's a porthole.
It's basically just like some drapes that you walk through.
It's just a doghouse without a door. It's just not.
It's basically just like a large atrium. It's a gazebo. It's a gazebo. Very easily accessible.
And so Kenya comes over to Candy's house and shades her about all the stairs that she had to climb.
Right. Yes. And she has exciting news, which is that Brooklyn's trying to crawl. So that's exciting for Kenya. And then Candy is talking about how her baby is going to be due in November, which, spoiler alert, just blazed into this world, as I already said. So there's that. So it's like baby talk. And, you know, I was just like loving that.
Yeah, Ben's favorite plot line, childbirth.
Yeah, my favorite plot line, updates on the kids. Oh my God, my baby's almost due. Oh my God, my baby's starting to walk a little bit, but now she's like starting to say words. Oh, well, no, you got to enjoy these times while you have it. Well, precious memories.
Yeah, and then Kenya's doing that thing where she's trying to like make herself equal to everybody else. Remember when she told Kim Fields, oh, you know, I'm a television producer just like you. You know, both of us with our storied careers in producing and acting. And Kim Fields was like, what?
Yeah.
Doing in this. You know how it is being a newlywed yourself. I'm like, Candy is not a newlywed.
Yeah, I was wondering like, where that came from.
You're talking about, but this is not Kim Fields you're talking to, okay? I'm surprised Candy got away with that. But Candy had an actual dating life, an engagement life, a wedding. And she's about to have her second child with this man. Could you stop?
Yeah, please. They've like opened up like restaurants together. They've like built roller coasters that probably weren't even like filmed. Like they have so many things that they do, like the Candy Burrs roller coaster amusement park. You know, I'm just imagining because the coffee's hitting me now. But the point is this. Kenya is having some real issues with Mark, and Candy has even seen it. She said that, like, you know, she's seen Mark bossing Kenya around, that Kenya is surprisingly submissive in her relationship with Mark, which also is curious because Kenya was with Matt before Mark, and Matt was, like, kind of overbearing and abusive, and so it's sort of strange that Kenya is this really, it seems like this really strong woman who is, like, you know, start shit, she's not afraid to fight, and yet puts herself in these situations where she's very submissive to these men.
Yes, like abusive men.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying anybody's physically abusive, but I would not be surprised if some sort of abuse storyline came in here in the future.
Yeah,
and
it's like hard it could to be watch. Emotional, mental, like there's a lot of different types of abuse. The point is like where there's like an inequality in that relationship. And Kenya basically tells us that she's like, if I swaddle Brooklyn, Mark takes her out of the swaddle. If I put her in the crib, he takes her out of the crib. If I neglect her for 3 hours, he takes care of her for 3 hours.
She said that he doesn't like when she's going to change the diaper while the baby's asleep. He's like, just let the baby rest, which is weird. I mean, it's weird arguments they're having, you know?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know when's the best time to do it. I just think it's weird that if you swaddle the baby, that you unswaddle the baby. Like, that actually bothers me. It's like, to me, it's like, I hate, for instance, when someone gives me a sandwich, but they don't put, like, if you order a sandwich at a restaurant, but there's, like, not enough, like, mayo on it or whatever, and so you have to, like, open up the sandwich and then, like, put, like, the mayo on it or mustard, and you close the sandwich up again, and for some reason, it's just, like, never quite as cohesive of a sandwich. Things start falling out of it, falling apart, bread slides everywhere. And it's like, don't undo the swaddle. Don't undo the sandwich. Don't undo the swaddle, Mark.
Well, basically, Mark is like one of those people who invented the bowl restaurant. You know, it's like he took a burrito, he unrolled the burrito, and then he just called it a bowl.
Yeah, yeah. So he's like turning the baby into a bowl.
Yeah, he's basically taking credit for being Chipotle right now. Put that baby back in the burrito, sir.
Also, what parent unswaddles their baby? I feel like parents love swaddling their baby because then it's like a little bit less work you have to do. The baby swaddled up is not going anywhere, and it's cozy and also adorable. Like, that's probably like peak baby cuteness is a baby in a swaddle.
Well, I don't know that Kenya's swaddling the baby right in the first place.
That's
true. You
know,
Kenya could be just like wrapping that whole baby up in a blanket.
Packing tape.
Kind of putting it next to the laptop, you know. Yeah, packing tape. You never know. She's probably like trying to plug it into this lightning port and shit.
Yeah, it's like Jack's like wrapping a Christmas present. It just like comes like all like wrinkled and like bunched up.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Hello, my name is Dr. Rangan Chatterjee, host of the Feel Better, Live More podcast, where I give you simple tips on things like improving sleep, energy, and gut health that will leave you feeling happier and calmer. The podcast is brought to you by JW Marriott. Traveling can really take its toll on the body, but inspired by the principles of mindfulness, JW Marriott is designed to let you focus on feeling whole. With more than 90 hotels in the world, visit jwmarriott.com for more information. 108.
This autumn, as the nights draw in, beat the cold with Now TV. Curl up with the latest blockbusters, including Bohemian Rhapsody and Hotel Mumbai. Plus, with over 40 new movies added each month, from Aquaman to How to Train Your Dragon 3, Now TV's got you covered, wherever you feel like watching. Get cozy with the latest and best movies for just $11.99 a month. Search Now TV today. 18 plus month passes auto renews unless cancelled. Terms apply.
So she gets really upset because, oh no, this isn't the, that's a different scene. Sorry. So Candy's like, well, you're going to have a trip, right? And she's like, I'm not having some stranger come take care of my baby. So I wanted to take the nanny, but he doesn't want the nanny on the trip. And Candy's like, look, I know that we're both strong ladies and we have to let the men think they're in charge, you know, because they think they know everything. Mm-hmm. And Candy's like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, but at least we all know that Candy is in charge of that house.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's any doubt. With Kenya, I'm not so sure, and it makes me uncomfortable because I'm not really a Kenya lover, and I don't like feeling protective of people I don't like. You know?
I understand that. But at least this scene gave Candy a chance to show off some real vocal range with some classic Candy Burris modulation, because she's like, you know, they're figuring out their flow. Sounds like marriage. And then followed by a classic Candy laugh. Ha, ha. How do you know how she does that laugh? That, ha, 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 ha. You know, ha, ha. No, anyone?
Ha, I can't ha. Do that. I'm sick.
Oh.
But I did
you know,
like
she does like that. She does that like, she does like a small ha and then like a long ha. She goes, ha, ha. I don't think it sounds anything like that.
She added a new little sound effect in there that I liked. She went, ha, ha, that was really funny. It was like all these high pitch, and then like a car kind of sputtering on the road. Like,
she's at some point, she's just gonna start doing like whoopee cushion noises and like explosions, like a like those old Casio keyboards, you know?
Yeah. So next up is Cynthia and Eva going to dinner at Tao, where we get to hear Lychee Martini a lot.
Yes.
Lychee Martini. Would you like a Lychee Martini? Everyone loves a Lychee Martini. So it's a table that's set for three. And Eva's like, why are there three people? Why is it set for three?
Yeah.
And Cynthia has pulled a Cynthia. She's going to surprise her with a someone she doesn't want to see invitation.
Yes, exactly. She's invited Marlo to dinner, and Eva can't stand Marlo. And Cynthia says, child, if there's any bullshit, then I won't be here long. And Eva's like, well, then you won't be here long because her name is bullshit. So, yeah, this is going to be a problem. So I was also worried that there was going to be some weird Nini ambush because Marlo apparently is the one who set up the dinner. And Cynthia thought it was weird that Marlo was setting it up. So I thought it was going to be some strange Nini shit, but it wasn't.
No, but there was a lot of Lychee Martinis.
A lot of Lychee. Lychee Martinis, so, big, having a big moment on Bravo. Two things that are having a really big moment on Bravo right now, Thailand and Lychee Martinis.
Yeah. So Cynthia's just basically explaining, like, look, here's the thing with Marlo. She has loyalty to Nini, but you can't tell me that she doesn't entertain this bullshit. You know, she doesn't ever check Nini. And I'm like, it sounds familiar, eh, Cynthia?
Yeah, seriously.
So, it's like, well, I'm not going to put up with this shit. Now let's order. Okay. I will have the California roll, the spider roll, the dumplings, the chicken dumplings, the pork dumplings, the
salad.
Can I
buy that chair over there? I'll just go buy the chair.
And the way they were counting it up was hilarious because they were adding her bill up as she went along.
Yeah. Also, by the way, ridiculous. She ordered like four pieces of yellowtail and it was like $32. Take a seat, Tao. Okay, take a seat. First of all, everyone says your food is bad, so there's that. Second of all, you're like a club, so like, why are you charging? I mean, I understand why they charge $8 for a piece of yellowtail, because they are a club, and that's what clubs do. But seriously, take a seat, okay? I was so offended by those yellowtail prices. It should be, like, for one piece of yellowtail, $4 max, but really it should be like $2, and you get like for $4.95 it should really be $4.95 for two pieces of yellowtail. And I feel very strongly about that.
You're basically just very cheap. Basically, you're just never going to Tao.
I won't go to Tao unless Tao wants to sponsor our podcast and prove us wrong and show us why they're a wonderful restaurant. Why, thank you, Tao, in advance. We would love to have dinner there on your bill.
If Ben and I were on Real Housewives, our scenes would take place at, like, the Ralph Sushi Bin.
Well, you know? It would. Well, the thing is that there's a Tao in L.A. now. It's up in Hollywood. And anytime I have to drive by it, it's just, like, the worst people going in. The worst. But, again, I'm willing to revise my opinion if Tao would like to invite us in and show us why they're actually wonderful and why we as podcasters sometimes could be wrong. So, Tao, thank you in advance for dinner. It was lovely. Do you like
how I guarantee you Tao does not give a fuck.
I'm literally trying to scam a free meal at Tao.
Yeah.
Because why not?
Tao does not care. Tao's like, we don't care about you.
Tao's like, we have Cynthia Bailey here. We don't need a podcaster. We have a giant Buddha. Are you okay over there? You're rearranging? Turning over?
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I'm here. Can you not hear me?
No, I heard like shifting and sounds and things like that. So I wasn't sure.
Siri said, did you mean one of these? Oh, I was moving my notebook. Oh, shut up, Siri.
Siri wants it. Siri's like, and here's another thing about Tao.
And I said, Jesus, Siri, did you say mean one of these? And she said, I'm not sure. Oh, Jesus, this watch. Every time I'm laying down, so when I move my wrist up, it's like, what? What'd you say? I've got like old lady Siri.
It's Jean.
Like,
remember?
What?
Jean, yeah, the digital assistant. What was that? You want something? Tao? Tao? You mean a Tower of Pisa? Gosh, you know, I went to Tower of Pisa with Fritz years ago. It was wonderful.
You know what? You make a tower of pizza. Don't complain to me when you're covered in grease and cheese by the end of the journey. All right.
Do you need a towel? Is that what you're saying? Do you ever go to Linens and things? Oh, it's closed, isn't it? They closed down. Well, Bath and Beyond has good towels. I don't know. You might want to check there. No, Gene, I wasn't even talking about towels.
You might want to check your hamper, hon. So Marlo comes in, and she's wearing such a big, stiff dress that she has to enter from the stairway sideways. Did you notice that?
Yeah, she looked like she was wearing...
She's playing a card in Alice in Wonderland, like one of the cards in the Queen's Court.
She did. She looked like she was wearing lump crab meat. It was like, you know when you, like, eat a crab and you just see, like, the crab gills? That's what her dress looked like.
Yes. Card crabs.
Yeah.
So she comes in sideways, and Eva's like, oh, hell no, bye. I'd like to take all of these to go, please. I'd like this. Okay, you can leave some of that pork.
Yeah, she gives a piece to Marlo. Marlo doesn't even like it.
She clears the table and starts to go, and Marlo's like, you don't have to run. Why are you running? We're a sisterhood. And she's like, we are not sisters. Goodbye. Here, you can have some pork.
Yeah. She's like, I made Cynthia pay $168 for this, and I'm not wasting it with your presence.
Yeah, and she doesn't even leave. She just goes to a sidebar, which cracked me up.
Yeah, I like that.
So Cynthia's like, well, at least she left you some duck. And Marlo's like, bye, girl. Your life's a fraud and you're broke.
Wonder why she left the table, huh? So, and then Eva's...
Marlo just trying to build bridges over there.
And then Eva has sort of an interesting response. She goes, I wish Marlo would just jump off a bridge with all her curiosities about my life. I was like, Well, you know, it's not the best shade she's ever done, but, you know, we'll
Eva's
take it.
Eva's not having the best episode today. She says a lot of random things like that.
Yeah.
But she does it while she's, like, pointing at the camera and, like, doing Popeye eye. So it's supposed to make it, like, really shady, but, you know, she's making an effort.
Yeah, she's normally, like, very good, probably one of the best in the cast. But this episode, maybe she has, you know, pregnancy brain or something like that. It's like they're coming off, like, a little bit like Mad Libs. Like, I wish she would certainly take that fish tank and go swimming to the crocodiles with it, if you know what I'm saying. I'm like, oh, no, I don't, Eva.
Yeah, she could take a fork and stir an ice cream for all I care. It's like, wait a minute.
You're doing Mad Libs again. You're doing Quad Libs, because Quad often sounds like she talks at Mad Libs.
Yes. So, but with less flourish, you know. At least Quad has some flourish with her.
Yeah, Quad tries to sell. She really sells hers.
She's like the Abernathy of the cuticle, cool candelabra.
Jill the Daffodil has it, baby. Which is an actual quote. Jill the Daffodil has it, baby.
Babe. So Marlo's like, well, I just had to walk in sideways. I deserve some respect. So Cynthia's like, okay, let's talk. She goes, she is not broke. Stop calling her broke. And Marlo's like, she had 3 or 4 jobs until she met us, and she just got that. It's like, oh, God, shame, shame, working people. Shame, shame on you, working people.
And then Marlo is being like, let me tell you what I don't respect about her. First of all, you know you're a bisexual and you're not honest about like Marlo just immediately starts going in. Marlo works so hard. She works so hard for that peach that she'll never get. She really does.
Yeah. So then Eva's eating fries in her confessional. She's like, I really don't care. So Marlo orders like me. She's like, I'll have two lychee martinis, please. And Cynthia's like, I guess I'll have one too. So they bring 2 lychee martinis and Marlo goes, those are both mine.
Yes. Well, it's like that classic Diane Weiss moment in Bullets Over Broadway. Oh, we'll have 2 martinis extra dry. And he's like, oh, that sounds great. Oh, you want 1, 2, 3, make it 3.
So the waiter, so Marlo's like, I need a shot. So Cynthia's like, so you're a mom now? What the fuck is going on in this world?
Yeah. And Marlo starts talking about her nephews and like she gets maybe like 5 words out and Cynthia's like, well, Noelle is dating a girl. So let's talk about Noelle instead of like the one thing that you've done ever in the history of the show that humanizes you.
Marlo's like, well, you tasted the cookie jar and look at you. You're fine. I'm like, well, what does that mean? Like, you can try and don't worry, you'll turn out heterosexual. Marlo, you're really walking a fine line lately, lady.
I was like basically thinking about picking duck at that point. So, and cookies to be fair. So I was like, I would love to taste the cookie jar right now. I'd taste anything.
I was thinking about people with 3 jobs beating the shit out of Marlo in a parking lot. Hopefully they're lesbians.
With cookies. So Cynthia, so of course they start talking about Nene. And Marlo's like, well, the streets have said that you called Nene toxic, as if you can't call Nene that, which is, by the way, an extremely accurate word to describe Nene. She is the most toxic thing that this show has ever seen. So she is. Well, Kim Zolciak's pretty toxic, too. But they're like 2 types of toxicity, right? Like one is like sludge and one is more like acid rain, right? So, so basically Cynthia's like, you know what? I don't want to take the high road anymore. Like every single time people are like, oh, you got to take the high road. You have to go apologize to Nene. It's like Cynthia's always the one who has to go to Nene and she just doesn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah. Cause Nene's the one always giving shit and being abusive. She says she's like blowing my brains out and people are saying, oh, that's just Nene. You know, and I get sick of that, too. It's like, that behavior is totally, it's just how they are. But then Cynthia does one thing, and they're like, oh, my God, Cynthia, you can't do that to Nene.
Yeah, exactly. And I actually really understand that. And I think that situation applies to many things in life, many, many things. And I think it's bullshit. It's a bullshit dynamic. And just because one person acts like a monster reliably and all the time doesn't mean that then they get like a free pass, you know? And then someone who like tries to sort of like act nicely and then like has like a moment of messiness, suddenly they're like worse than the person who is a monster all the time but is like at least open or like upfront about being a monster. I don't know. It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
I'm triggered. I'm triggered, everyone. I'm triggered by this scene. Tao triggered.
I'm triggered by Portia looking for shoes because that's like every day of my life. And I live in a 1-bedroom looking for shoes every day of my life. Like, where could the shoes be? There's only one place they could be. They're not there. Where are they? Are they under the bed? No. Are they in the closet? No. Are they under the clothes? No. Are they in the bathtub? No. How can I lose my shoes every fucking day?
That is very interesting that happens.
Like every day I lose my shoes.
Maybe get like another pair of shoes, that way when you lose one you can get to the other ones right away.
No, I have 3 pairs of the same shoe because I have such a fat foot I can only buy shoes online, and so I have like 3 pairs of the same shoe every I'm like a cartoon character, and then I'll find 2 of the left shoe, you know. Oh Jesus.
Wow. Well, so anyway, you do have a dog that probably like picks up the shoes and moves them around.
That's, I don't think so, because he looks so stressed out every time I'm looking for my shoes. He's just looking at me like, oh my God.
Well, because he knows what he did. It's called guilt. Dog guilt. The dog knows. The dog's like, oh shit, I moved Ronnie's shoe again, and now he's mad. I gotta like act cool. Maybe I'll look really, really guilty right now.
So she's going back to work finally, Dish Nation, and she's getting her baby ready for work and everything. And now they're doing this thing where instead of saying Portia's sister, they're saying Portia's assistant Laura is on the phone.
Yeah. Well, because I think there was like a Laura and a Lauren.
They're saying Lauren.
Oh.
Because then they show her later. They show Lauren later, and they're like, Porsche's assistant, Lauren.
Well, there was also like, they're just strange. I think they just are like bored, and they're just going to like futz around with the Chirons because it's like the only thing to do right now. Because they show Porsche getting dressed in her room, and it says 8:35 a.m. And then like she brings the baby to, they call an Uber, and she puts the baby in the Uber, and it's like 9:03 a.m. As if like I'm thinking, okay, we're going to see how long it takes to get into a car with Porsche. Oh, she forgot the bottle. So I'm expecting it to be like 9:07, 9:15, 9:30. But it's just like, nope, we're only going to get 8:35 a.m., 9:03 a.m., and we're just going to drop this whole thing. We're just going to give random times in the middle of the episode just because why not?
Yeah, just adding urgency to it or something.
Yeah, urgency to a very like non-urgent moment as Porsche gets into a car. I don't even know really why we needed the scene. I think they were just trying to cobble together an episode. Basically, I think that what happened, I think this was like a placeholder episode. They knew they needed to create some sort of drama between Cynthia and Nini and then sort of like build something around that. But then while that was happening up in New York, literally nothing is happening in Atlanta. So they just have to fill time with watching Porsche gather bottles of milk and bring them to her Uber.
I forgot the milk. So then Nini is at the boathouse in the park, and she tells some kids over the balcony, she's like, are you kids cursing? There are adults here.
Really? I didn't see any on TV. Whoa, burn.
Was that fun loving Nini at it again?
Nini known for her proper decorum in public spaces.
So then Marlo comes up in full on dream girl sequence.
Yeah.
And Nini's like, this ain't Studio 54, bitch, this is the boathouse.
Yeah, it is like a gold sequin jumpsuit, and like she has a tit that's about to fall out of it. And it's also, by the way, like 1 p.m. and everyone's just in, you know, lunch, flowy lunch garb. And Marlo is so extra. I mean, I just don't know if like, I don't know whether or not I should just like love it or just roll my eyes or maybe somewhere in between.
Marlo? Fucking love it. She's hilarious. At least she's herself, you know? So Marlo's like, well, I went to lunch with Cynthia and she didn't tell me she was bringing Eva, and then Eva left the table. Well, at least I got some pork. But all I did was tell everybody what a bridesmaid said. And then we got the clips of, you know, why Marlo is so hateable and so completely wrong. So basically Marlo is telling Nini that she needs to make up with Cynthia, which is not really the best thing to tell Nini.
And Nini's now acting all innocent. She's like, you know, Cynthia was going to every blog and every podcast and every outlet talking about how terrible I was. And then I finally did one interview, you know, and now, blah, blah. But it's like, even if you did just do one interview, you have spent years and years being awful to Cynthia. And when you guys had your last fight, how about this? Like, doesn't Nini remember when she went on, like, her fight with Porsche from, I think, 2 years ago or so, when it was like the same thing? It was like she was mad at Porsche over some stupid bullshit and then went everywhere and talked shit about Porsche, went on to Watch What Happens Live and said that Porsche should be fired or whatever it was. I'm just saying that Nini is a hypocrite and not in a fun way.
Totally. And I love how she listed it. She's like, she has gone on every interview show. She even went on Candy's show. Like, wow. She's really making the big interview runs over there.
Yeah. And Cynthia, in all the interviews, Cynthia was saying, like, I feel like she was always commenting on their friendship. And Nini was the one in her interview who just is like, she's weak. She's, you know, whatever she said, she's weak, she's stupid, she's like afraid of life, whatever it was. But she goes after Cynthia as a person, so hers hit more below the belt. Not that it really matters, but you know,
yeah,
those are my thoughts. Okay.
So Nini's like, you know, I was a real sister to her, a real sister, and the last thing I want to do is cry. Is that octopus? Because I'm not eating fucking octopus. And she's like, yeah, well, you eat calamari. And she's like, not that kind.
Yeah, and I was like,
so then we get to see Marlo deep throat an octopus.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, okay, well, that's cute. That was a nice scene. And then I was like, oh no, the scene is still gonna go. So now Nini's like, well, you may, you know, I like appreciate you trying to get me to like have a talk with Cynthia, but I'm going to tell you right now, I am not going to have a talk with Cynthia. Dun, dun, dun. And so then it goes to commercial. And then we come back and we're still at the same scene. I was like, wait, there wasn't even a, was there a cliffhanger there? Why are we still with Nini at the boathouse? It is still going on. This scene has been going on for 10 minutes and nothing has happened.
Yeah. And Nini's just getting mad because someone's telling her to apologize. And that's her biggest trigger. And she's like, I have to be the one to give the apology. And these people just get to sit back and look at me like I'm dead wrong. No way. And she gets up and storms out.
Because Marlo's like, can you at least acknowledge that there's some part of it that you also contributed towards this thing? And that's when Nini's like, no, and runs out of the boathouse.
And it's like the saddest chase scene ever because Nini's like, I'm leaving. But instead of getting into a high-speeding taxi cab, she's like, get away. It's like one of those really slow bike pedicab things. And she's like, I will run away. She gets to this thing. It's like,
and Marlo's too lazy to like walk at like a normal gait just to reach her. Like, literally, Marlo could have just like casually strolled up and been like, we're still talking. But no, she's just like, well, she's on wheels.
I mean, it's a poor guy. It's one man on a bicycle lugging Nini Leakes. How fast could it possibly be, Marlo? Make an effort.
Get a skateboard. Or another pedicab. I would have loved like a pedicab version of Fast and the Furious. But it'd be like the slow and the mildly irked.
The slow and the not even curious enough to follow you at a slow walking pace. So let's go to the Objin. Let's go see Dr. Jackie, guys. Good. Dr. Jackie doing in her life? I need to know.
I was worried that we were going to like not have another scene that had something to do with babies. So this was made me really happy that we did this.
Yeah, congratulations. Here we are. So Ace, Todd, and Candy go to see Dr. Jackie because they're gonna have an exam with the baby. Okay.
Yeah.
And Candy's like, now I see what it feels like to be a dude during the pregnancy. This poor woman like wants her feet rubbed and her back hurts and men just sit here, you know? Now I know what it feels like, but I like it.
Yeah, and then you know, there's some discussion about who's gonna cut the cord, and like, you know, Candy says Todd can cut it, but she will do it too if necessary. And then Dr. Jackie basically is telling them that when the baby comes, they immediately bring the baby to Candy, who's gonna be in another room, and like put the baby on Candy's chest, etc. And then that's gonna be like it for Candy and Shadina, because I am imagining, as someone who has not gone through this myself, I imagine that they immediately sever the relationship so that way there's no weird situation with the surrogate and the baby. I would imagine, because I've seen a lot of Lifetime. But I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't really know, but that's what they make it sound like. She's like, okay, the baby will come out. Someone will cut the cord. A trap door will open. Shadina will fall through it. You'll hear screaming and grunting sounds as a giant plant eats her. The plant will be fed, go to sleep for the night while you rest with the baby and leave out the back door. Okay? It's like, what the hell?
We are sending Shadina to a place that we'll just call Phaedraland. You will never see her again. By the way, Apollo's out of jail. Did you know that?
Hot.
Did you see those pictures? He's like looking great. He looks, well, he's always looked great, but like, you know,
the jail is one of the best gyms in America. You know, I see why it's catching on.
Yeah. But you know, some people go to the jail gym and they come out Joe Giudice, but Apollo comes out like Apollo, you know?
Yeah, but Apollo went in Apollo and Joe Giudice went in Joe Giudice. You know what I mean? You can polish a diamond.
That's true.
You can't just make a diamond out of thin air.
Yeah, Joe just came out cubic zirconium.
Yeah. So then we're back with Portia. So she's going back to work, and she's like, usually in my job, we dish about everybody's tea in pop culture. But right now, pop culture is all about my tea. It's like, okay, I wouldn't go that far, ma'am.
Yeah.
Okay. Pop culture was never really that shocked. Okay. Although you did get us with that bestiality headline. I will have you that.
And exactly. And I think we should, like, at some point, I would like someone to circle back to that. I feel like bestiality and Pretty Jessica are these two things that Bravo just dropped on us but hasn't really followed up with. And, like, that's, like, really not cool. Like, it's Thanksgiving time. And the best way to show thanks would be to have maybe a bestiality Pretty Jessica explanation episode on Dallas and Atlanta. Thanks.
Yeah, that's what we need for our holiday times. Gather the family around.
Yeah. So, yeah. So the point is that it was great. Going back to work was great. She had so much fun. And she brought PJ on, and they kept PJ on the whole time. And she had so much fun doing it because it kept her mind off of things. And now she's actually excited to be at work. And now she definitely wants a daytime sitter. So that way she can work more and more and more. And especially if she has a nanny, she's going to be able to heal better because she won't have to communicate so much with Dennis. The nanny can do it all. And that way she can, like, have her, like, be with herself and heal more.
Yeah, and she's like, I've had nannies during the day, but, you know, some nannies are just, like, dousing me with information. Then the other nanny is, like, worrying about her money. And then other nannies just want to talk about my job all day. Like, bitch, go watch the baby. And, you know, that's, like, such a nanny of a Real Housewives watcher. Like, girl, what's Nene really like?
Yeah, exactly.
Could you change the diaper, please?
It's basically like, okay, that's like what I would be like as a nanny. So tell me everything. What about Cordell? Cordell, very bad, very bad.
You're nanny. Like the you're like bringing up information that everybody's bored with. Portia's like Cordell. That was 5 seasons ago. Ask me about the hot dog guy.
Yeah. So now we're over at Kenya's house because when Candy was at Dr. Jackie's, Kenya sent some urgent messages like, you must come over. Please come over. Like, I'm going through like a crisis. I need you here right now. And then Kenya comes over and Kenya's like, hi. And she's like setting out like crudités or whatever, like wiping down her counters all happy. And Kenya's like, ah! Like not knowing what's going on.
This is why Kenya can't keep friends, by the way. She's this friend. It's like, I'm at the hospital checking on my baby. And Kenya's like, you must come over. You must. I have to complain about my husband, which I couldn't possibly do over the phone. I need you to drive all the way the well in the ground to talk to me about my husband. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Stop wasting my time, Kenya, okay?
Yeah, seriously. So Candy and Kenya both want a breast reduction, so I'm sure we have that to look forward to on a future episode. Dual breast reductions, possibly by Dr. Curves himself. And Kenya's, like, feeling a certain sort of way because she wants a reduction, but she can't have it until she gets rid of the milk in her boobies. And she's still lactating, even though apparently she hasn't been breastfeeding in a moment. So, like, I guess that was the emergency. I don't know. But ultimately, this segues into talk about Mark. And basically, Mark, when Kenya gained weight from the pregnancy, Mark got turned off. And their whole love life has kind of dried up.
Dried up, what an odd term. So basically, she was talking to Candy earlier about how awkward her anniversary trip is going to be. And they got in a fight about the nanny again. So she just went on the vacation with the baby herself.
Passive-aggressive Turks and Caicos trip.
Yes, because they fought so much that she's like, fine, I will go on the trip with the nanny and the baby. And I guess he was like, well, I don't want to be on a trip with the nanny, so have fun, bitch. So he left her. And it's just Candy's like, yeah, this is really awkward, you know, because you're not supposed to tell your friend, leave the guy. Mm-hmm. But leave the guy. I mean, leave the guy. This is obviously not going to work, and you're obviously not going to make it work because you're completely ignoring, I don't know.
This guy seems like
I have no right. He does.
First of all, he's an unswapper.
Like a real fucking douchebag too. So yeah. I mean, I don't know who to root for here.
Well, I'm gonna root for Kenya because this guy. First of all, like he said, he didn't want a nanny on the vacation because then it wouldn't be a real vacation for him. He wouldn't be able to like relax. But then as Candy says, so then like you having to tend to the baby every minute. How is that a vacation? You know, like, what's the deal with that? I just feel like it's, I don't know. I think that Mark, something.
I think he was saying, what I was getting was that he wanted to go on vacation. It's his first year with the baby, and he wanted to go on vacation with the baby and, like, spend time with the baby. And he didn't want, like, when you have a nanny, that's like another family member there with you, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's what he was saying. But then here I am in the position of standing up for this jackass who's a jackass.
I mean, Candy's basically like, tell Mark how you feel. And then that's when Kenya starts to cry and saying that they had an argument. And, you know, there's sort of like this implication that this was like a bad argument. And like he said some real nasty things to her. And she just, Kenya, all Kenya says is that Mark doesn't compromise. And then she goes, and I'm not a fighter. And of course they show a montage of Kenya fighting with everyone on the cast.
Yeah, the bullhorn right before she gets dragged across the floor.
Yeah, and so basically, like, Kenya basically says that Mark, when they were dating, if they had a disagreement, he would be, like, more refrained about the words that he would use. Or, like, I guess she's basically implying that, like, when they had arguments, there were, like, arguments, and now he just, like, goes in on her and, you know, is awful to her. And then the producer's like, well, what does he say? Or what's his tone? And she's like, I'm not going to say. So obviously things are like really bad.
They are. I just noticed after watching Kenya for so many years that Kenya always finds a way to frame herself as a victim of something. Always. Every single time. And I've learned my lesson with Kenya. But in this case, I think this guy is a total jackass. But he doesn't seem like he was a secretive jackass where he was like not a jackass and then suddenly was a jackass. He seems like a pretty overbearing jackass. So my basic thought is get him away from me. Okay? Yeah. You can choose to have him in your life. I choose not to have him in my life. He's gross and he's abusive and I don't want him near me. Kenya, so get him out of here.
Yeah, he seems like a total like douchebag and he should have brought an he chose not to go on to Turks and Caicos because she wanted a nanny there. Like, just think about that. Just think about that. That's like, what sort of judgment is that? Is that a judgment you want out of your husband? I don't think so. I think you want a husband that says, not only are we going to get a nanny, but we are going to get, like, a nanny for the nanny. So that way, like, there's no, like, we will get a full night of sex and sleeping in the next day in Turks and Caicos in paradise. Not like I would rather stay in my cramped apartment in Brooklyn and have no nanny than go to paradise and have sex. I don't know if my logic is tracking, but it felt really good as I said it.
Well, could you go, boy?
Thank you.
I'm with you.
That's all I needed.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the Real Housewives of Atlanta, everybody.
Thrilling episode. I'm hoping next week things start to pick up. It looks like the cast will be coming together and we'll start to get a little bit more, you know, like substance as opposed to just these one-on-one conversations about babies. So we're looking forward to that. And we will be back with, I don't know, what are we doing next? Married to Medicine? When are we doing Married to Medicine? When's that going to be airing this week? Is it on Wednesday? Is it tomorrow, today?
Tomorrow is Below Deck. And then we're going to have Real Housewives of Orange County. Then we're going to have Married to Medicine, I think, Thursday?
Okay.
I don't know. It will be here.
We'll be here. Just subscribe and just see what comes down the pike.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Welcome to The Attitude, a brand new mini-series with me, Kate Thornton, brought to you by Harpen, the new clothing line that offers style with attitude. Join me as I talk to four incredible women about the attitudes they've adopted to shape their lives, careers, and romances. You'll find inspiration and a new look to match at harpen.com. That's HARPENE.com, where you'll also get 10% off your first order and free delivery when you spend £50 or more. Find your attitude at Harpen.
Hello everyone, it's Jamie Lang here from our brand new podcast, MOVE, which stands for Motivation, Opportunity, Vision, Entrepreneurship. Each week, my business partner and I interview a different successful person in their own right, or their story to where they got to today. Now they're athletes, artists, musicians, entrepreneurs, founders from all different walks of life. It's inspiring, it's encouraging, and it helps you to go that out there and achieve your goal. So we have something for you today, which is going to help you. So listen to this, because this is going to help you with your financing. Now, Mini Financial Services has the perfect solution for you. Now, Mini Finance makes it easy for you to live the life you want with tailored fixed monthly payments to suit your budget. Not only that, buying a Mini with Mini Finance gives you tailored finance packages with options to change your Mini every few years. When you are working hard and chasing your dreams, financing a new or approved used Mini through Mini Finance Services allows you to simply live your life and carry on moving towards your next ambition or goal. Search Mini Finance to learn more about your finance options. UK residents aged 18 plus, guarantees may be required, mileage and other conditions apply if you return the vehicle. Terms and conditions apply.